evening, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to John's Gospel. And this evening, I want to look at chapter 20. And I want to look at the events that happened after Jesus rose from the dead. A lot of times, when you're in the midst of a trial or a situation that you fully don't understand what is happening, sometimes, even as I was preaching on Sunday and teaching on Sunday, even though the disciples had heard that Jesus was going to go to the cross, that he was going to rise from the dead, and that he had to do that for the salvation of man and for their salvation, yet they didn't hear. And when the events happened, everything just came crashing down around them. On Sunday, we saw during the resurrection that the women had gone to the tomb first, and then John and Peter ran there afterwards, John getting there first, but Peter boldly going in and not seeing him there. And then in the text this evening, as you come to verse 10 of chapter 20, we find everybody's gone back to where they had run from, except Mary Magdalene. And she's remaining at the tomb and she's weeping. Her heart is broken. And she doesn't fully comprehend what's going on. And she sees two angels inside the tomb. Now let's just read the text there, and then we're going to go on and see what happens with the disciples. Then the disciples went away again unto their own home, but Mary stood without at the sepulchre weeping. And as she wept, she stooped down and looked into the sepulchre, and seeth two angels in white sitting, at one at the head and the other at the feet, where the body of Jesus had lain. And they say unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She saith unto them, Because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. And when she had thus said, she turned herself back and saw Jesus standing, and knew not that it was Jesus. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? Whom seekest thou? She, supposing him to be the gardener, saith unto him, Sir, if thou hast borne him hence, tell me where thou hast taken him, and I will take him away. Jesus saith unto her, Mary. And she turned herself and saith unto him, Rabboni, which is to say, Master. Jesus saith unto her, Touch me not, for I am not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say unto them, I ascend unto my Father and to your Father, and to my God and your God. Mary Magdalene came and told the disciples that she had seen the Lord and that he had spoken these things unto her. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, Peace unto you. And when he had said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. Then were the disciples glad, and when they saw the Lord. Then said Jesus to them again, Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, Receive ye the Holy Ghost, whosoever sins ye remit, they are remitted unto them, and whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. But Thomas, one of the 12, called Didymus, was not with them when Jesus came. The other disciples therefore said unto him, We have seen the Lord. But he said unto them, Except I shall see his hands and the print of the nails, and put my finger into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side, I will not believe. And after 8 days, again, the disciples were sitting within, were within, and Thomas with them. Then came Jesus, the doors being shut, and stood in the midst and said, "Peace be unto you." Then saith he unto Thomas, "Reach thither thy finger, and behold my hands, and reach hither thy hand, and thrust it into my side, and be not faithless, but believing." And Thomas answered and said unto him, "My Lord and my God." And Jesus saith unto him, "Thomas, because thou hast seen me, thou hast believed. Blessed are they that have not seen, and yet have believed." And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life in his name. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I pray that you just speak to us through your word this evening. Lord, help us to see you've given to us a commission just as you gave to them a commission. And the commission is based upon our faith and trust in you, and you have told us that you will give us the power, and it's by your power and by your authority that we go. And that we're not to be fearful, but we're to be filled with hope. And Father, when the circumstances of life come crashing in around us, may we realize that just as with the disciples, you are there standing beside us, and you are there to give us your strength and your power to help us to face tomorrow. Lord, now I pray, just speak to us through your word and help us to be encouraged by it. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. As we read that text, one of the things that I saw when I was reading this text is I saw a group of people that were filled with despondency and despair. The very one that they loved and trusted and put their hope in was no longer there. The one that had showed and revealed to them all his power and authority, that had come in the name of his Father and had done all the things that he said he could do, he wasn't there. Even though they had been told at the tomb by the angels that he'd risen. In the other Gospels, you see that John and Peter were told that by the angels as well. So was Mary Magdalene as she stayed at the tomb weeping, believing that someone must have stolen his body. Because where was he? Now, I want you to understand, a lot of times, especially people that grew up in the church and went through Sunday school, a lot of times you come to passages like this, And you always hear, well, let's talk about the story of the tomb. Let's talk about the story of... These aren't stories. These are historical events that actually occurred. And I want you to understand that the people that were living in these moments of history experienced this, had emotions and feelings just like we do. And they had fears just like we have. And they have issues in their lives just like we have issues. And so when you read this text, you need to understand this is real. These are real tears that Mary is crying. And evidently her tears were so great that it was blinding her ability to see her, or otherwise the Lord may have masked who he was until he could reveal himself at the right moment for her. But the text says clearly that she heard him behind her and she turned around and she did not recognize him, yet she had been following him for years. And she had been there at the cross when he had died. And she had come with the other women to prepare his body. She knew who he was, yet in the midst of him, she didn't recognize it because of the depth of her grief. I want you to understand that oftentimes that happens to us. And it's a way that Satan prevents us from being comforted by the Lord, prevents us from having the hope of Jesus in our heart at the moments of greatest need to have that hope. Because we are clouded in our vision and our understanding of who Jesus is at that moment in time and how He desires to work in our life at some of the most times of hardest times that we have to live through, that He is there with us. And sometimes, like Mary, He says our name not audibly, but speaks to our heart. And like her, we don't know who it is, because we're being overwhelmed by our grief instead of comforted by His love. He knew the depth of grief that she was experiencing. If you can imagine, there's the hymn that we sing once in a while, "Does Jesus Care?" Oh, yes, He cares. Why does He care? He knows the depth of my grief. He knew the depth of her grief. He had experienced those emotions in a greater manner than any of us could ever hope to experience when He hung on the cross and experienced separation from His Father and experienced the wrath of His Father upon Him for that moment when He took the sins of the world and paid the penalty for our sins by shedding His blood and giving His life so that we could live. And He experienced more than we could ever experience in suffering and grief. And so when He's there to comfort. And He shows that love for her. And the expression that she has is she immediately turns, and when He says, and she can see that it's Jesus, the word that she uses is Rabboni, and it's transferred in the King James in English as Master, but it even means a greater depth. It means the one who means the most to me is my teacher and my Lord. And she wants to touch Him and hug Him and hold Him. But He's saying, you can't do that yet. I need to go on to the Father. There's going to be a day where we can do that, where we come into the presence of Jesus and we'll be with Him forever. We'll come back with Him when He comes to rule and reign during the 1,000 years. We'll rule with Him then. We'll be with Him eternally in the new heavens and the new earth. And, you know, sometimes it just blows my mind. How can we all, every believer, have the same intimacy with God when there's so many of us, but in one sense so many, but in another sense so few? But then you stop and think, God is there for each one of us. He knows what you're suffering and enduring tonight. I don't. I've got an idea what some of you are going through, but I don't know your pains. I don't know your griefs, but He does. Just as He knew hers. And when he goes to the Father, He goes to prepare a place for us to come and join and be with Him eternally. So that's the first I want to look at. The second I want to look at is a very interesting thing. She goes back to the disciples, and evidently that night, and remember it's still Sunday night, it's still the first day of the week, and it's the day that Jesus has risen from the dead. He rose from the dead early that morning. They've had the whole day to think about this. And remember, Jesus told them more than once it was going to happen. Now they've physically seen with their eyes an empty tomb. Some of them have heard with their ears angels telling them. They have seen with their eyes angelic beings, men in white clothing that are there that they hadn't seen before and then are not there. They have seen the cloth laying empty. They've seen all of that, some of them, and it's been relayed to the others. And you would think, they would understand, He's risen! But instead, a lot of Bible teachers believe, and I would probably agree with them, that they've gone back to the upper room that they rented for the Passover week. and they're meeting there, but it says that the door is bolted shut, and the reason is they're in fear. Why are they in fear? They're in fear of the Jewish leadership coming and getting them, and they're dragging them away. There's a song, and it goes, all the gates were fastened, all the gates were shut, and the doors were fastened down, and they spent the night in loneliness and fear. And I should have gotten the words to the song, because it's a powerful, powerful song, and it talks about the emotion that was going through the disciples. And then all of a sudden, the chorus of this song is, Jesus appears in the midst of them, and they go, He's alive. He's alive. And the significance of that moment. If you can imagine the transformation of the emotions that occur as the disciples went from trembling in fear, and you've got grown men who have walked with Jesus for 3.5 years, seen His power, seen His authority, listened to His words, sat under His teaching, Him telling them these events will happen, and yet overwhelmed with fear to the point that the doors are locked and they're trembling, and all of a sudden He's in the midst of them. And when He comes in the midst of them, it's amazing what He does. He says, "Peace be unto you." Peace be unto you. You know, the Apostle Paul, in just about every one of his letters, opens and closes with that theme. Grace and peace. Grace and peace. May the peace of God be with you. These guys needed peace. Their hearts were in turmoil. Their hearts were in fear. How do you gain courage when you're overwhelmed with fear? You have to be able to walk in the peace of God and understand that God is in control of the situation. So Jesus says, I'm going to give you my peace. And then the next words that He tells them, and as my Father has sent me, so send I you. Now this is to people who a moment ago were cowering in fear. This is to a woman who was overwhelmed with grief. This is to people that didn't believe that He really had risen from the dead, and thought that somebody had stolen His body, thought that something else nefarious had happened, and that He wasn't alive. And now all of a sudden He's in their presence, He's alive, and He says, "Peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, I send you." Now, where was He sending them? He already told them that prior to His going to the cross. As I am sending you out amongst the wolves. You're going to be a sheep amongst the wolves. Well, that's really comforting. But the thing is, I will be with you. And you're not going in your strength, because sheep have no power. Who has the power to ward off the wolves? The shepherd. I, the good shepherd, will be with my sheep, and I'm going to send you out. So send I you. My Father sent me, and when I came, I went willingly, and He was with me. And I knew what I was having, what my mission was. I accomplished my mission, and my Father was with me through it all. And now, by the power that I have been able to gain over sin and death by paying the penalty, I send you, and I will send you out as sheep amongst the wolves, but I, the shepherd, will go before you. Now you stop and think about, this is the same Lord of hosts that met Joshua at the Jordan River when Joshua was getting ready to take the nation of Israel into the land of Canaan. And he was looking across at Jericho, the first city that he was going to have to fight, with impregnable walls that had never been able to be penetrated, trained armies, and he's leading people that had been slaves and cattle herders and sheep herders. These people have shields and chariots and sharp metal knives and swords and arrows and bows, and his people have very little. And he's met by Jesus. He's met by the Lord of hosts. And what does he say to him? Be of good courage and don't fear. I'll go with you. The Lord of hosts will go before you. The same Lord of hosts is telling these men, I'm sending you. I want you to see something that begins to immediately happen. Their attitude begins to change. And we're running out of time, so I'm not going to finish all of this tonight. But I just want to go down to the next thing that he says. He says, and when he had done this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now this isn't the same thing with their, he's giving them the Holy Ghost, which later on he does do, when he says that I'll give you my comforter, it'll come, and greater is the one that I send to you, and how this comfort's going to come and reside in them. But something transpires in these men at this moment in time which changes their whole vision. And I think that what God is doing is he's saying here, I'm giving you my Holy Spirit so that you can understand and see as I see. The Holy Spirit is going to open your eyes, he's going to open your understanding, and I will give him to you so that you can see as I see. And you understand as I understand. And then he says an interesting statement, which a lot of people say, what does this all mean? Because I don't have the power to forgive sins, nor do I have the power to withhold sins. But you know something? I have the power to preach the gospel. I have the power to preach the gospel. And I also have the power to preach the judgment of God. And when I preach the gospel, I am showing to people how they can be set free from their sin. And I, when I preach the judgment of God, I'm showing how that if they're unwilling to be set free from their sin, there awaits from them an eternal judgment that they do not have to face, but they are willing to choose to face. And what I am doing is exactly what Jesus is saying that I have the power to do. Set men free from their sin and commit them to their sin. I tell them the truth, which the world does not tell them. Satan's a liar, and he tells them your sin doesn't matter. You need to live and do what you want to do now. You can be a god unto yourself. He lies from the pits of hell, because Jesus even says he's a murderer and a liar from the beginning. But we come with the truth. And we come to set men free. So Jesus is saying, I give you my peace. And I send you as my Father sent me, as sheep among the wolves, but I, the good shepherd, will go before you, and you will have tremendous power because you are going to be speaking the words that will either set men free or condemn them to hell, and they will be my words and by my authority, and it will transform men's thinking. And men will have to stand with me either as my children, or hear the words, depart from me, if never knew you, because of what you have shared with them. The choice is theirs, but you're the messenger. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to understand this truth tonight. Help us to truly seek to be the messenger that you want us to be. Help us not to be fearful. Help us not to be overwhelmed with emotion, but help us to go in your peace, in your power, and reveal the depth of your love. May we go in grace and peace, and may we show forth the truth of your word. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.